living. I'll be a living sanctuary before you. Sing it unto him and think about it. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. If that's your desire, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary before you. Amen and amen and amen. It's to be a sanctuary for the Lord. That's a dwelling place. That's what a sanctuary is, a dwelling place. The children of Israel sure thought a lot of it because they guarded that place a lot, didn't they? For a dwelling place. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 6, where we've been reading some. By way of announcements now, I know you already have prayed, and remember, Brother Joe Solis is in the hospital with some chest pain, so they're running tests to make sure. Sister Gwen called this morning, and they put him in last night about 1 o'clock or something. They were going to run some tests on him, so just be much in prayer that everything will be all right, because all of this congestions and things that's coming around, hitting everybody in the chest, you know, it's causing a lot of problems and all, and the devil's attacked in the respiratory systems and all of the people, because that's your life. So just pray that the Lord would take care of him. And Sister Marlo, she was sick this morning and got strep throat, so Brother Richard said she wasn't able to come. So just pray that the Lord would touch her and deliver from that. We had a wonderful time yesterday down with the brothers and sisters there in Atlanta, and Brother Harris done a real marvelous job, I thought, of taking the services, and if they'll listen, they heard a lot, because he went from Genesis to Revelations and back to Genesis and back to Revelation in about an hour and a half there, and he done a wonderful job of bringing the message. I thought, if you get a chance to, I don't know where they made the tapes or not of it, but I don't really know, so just, you know, if you can. But just remember that. Also remember now, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock here at the church. And the Lord willing, Wade and Brother Aaron will be taking next Sunday services, because Peggy and I are going to run up to Brother Richard Wilson's for the weekend, be there with him. So just remember that. You go ahead and have your Bible study, because we can't keep changing and doing, because, go ahead and do it, because it was set up with you anyway. And then remember, the fellowship meeting will be on the third Saturday, when it's Brother Padgett, or Brother Tim Calhoun. Right. We've got to get everything together about that to know about it. All right, now the last announcement that I know of that I've got. Brother Keith Reed will be here, the Lord willing, on the Easter weekend preaching for us. All right, we're going to have that time. It's going to be a rare one, so we're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, so we're going to have services Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for that one time, you know, because we don't generally schedule, but I want Brother Reed to preach for us and just get like four services in a row and let him get into something and really help us. I really appreciate Brother Reed. And they will be here with us possibly on the Wednesday night. I don't know for certain. But they'll be here on Wednesday, I know. But we may try to take him down to Brother Daniels or something. We can get him off the plane and get him there quick enough. We'll make the arrangements and everything. But they will be here with us for the weekend. So just remember that. I think that's all the announcements, I believe, and everything. So we just pray. Let's pray before we read Revelation 6:1. Lord Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we know truly that in this hour that we live, that it is a horrible time as far as the world is concerned, as far as mankind and all of the things are happening, everything is falling apart. But yet to the little bride of Jesus Christ, she's becoming one with the Word and having a constant revival within her heart. It may be a down feeling as far as our human thoughts and ideas are, but it is not, Lord, in thy Word. We thank you because you've given us your word. And Lord, there is our revival. And we thank you because you can't revive a sinner, Father. We know that. You only revive those that are already Christians. So just have your way now. Keep us, forgive us when we fail you. We know we do. And as we read your words, you come and speak to our hearts and guide each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Yeah. We've been quite a while in the book of Revelations, and I hope you're enjoying it and doing it. It's, you know, I hope I'm not a sore thumb. The brother last night was talking about how that people in America was dying down. Well, I agree, but then I differ. You know, I agree, but I totally differ. All right? I agree that as a whole, America is going down, and as a whole, the people of the message are becoming Laodicea, relaxed and settling in and saying we have need of nothing. I agree with that, you know, and the world's falling apart. But I don't agree that the bride, I believe the bride is having the greatest revival it has ever been. At least I am. Because we say, well, yeah, but a revival is just, a revival is low. We're going, you put a revival, you bring them up here from the revival ages and see what they would do when they're having, when you're having a hard time living every day. And all, this is not a revival age. The prophet said the revival was over, but he didn't say it was over for the bride, because he said he'd take them seven unknown thunders to awake the bride and bring a revival to her. So I'm having a revival myself. Sure, we're down and out. Sure, we're down because of the human elements, because everybody else is down and out. But I'm very up in the Lord of what he's revealing and what he's doing. And I appreciate him, and I make that statement boldly. I believe it. I believe God is among his bride around the world, and she's on fire for him.
Right.
But when you look at her, it doesn't look like she's on fire. But like I said, take where you are, bring Paul and them up here, and let's see what they would do in this day that we're living. We're not complaining, we're just stating truth. Plain fact, we're in the end time. All right. There's not that push, but why is there not that push in the bride? For the word. The word is what we're feeding on, right? There's your revival. Is in the word. All right? If you get one word a month, as Brother Gary and I talk about there, if I get one word a month, sometimes I'm unhappy. Because sometimes I have went 3 months and not get a word. And I have to preach. And that's rough to have to preach when you're only getting an uplifting every once in a while. And that's why I love to hear, because faith truly comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of the Lord. But I'm, I just get that point on to the doing. But now we've been talking about the book of Revelations and how that I've titled it more of my own thoughts, that the book of Revelations is the greatest book there is in the Bible, because it's the book that tells you exactly who you are. It's the book that the devil has told us to stay away from because he didn't want us to see what it was about. But when the prophet came and broke the symbols of the Bible and told us what those things mean and told us the understanding, why can't we read it with understanding? See, we used to read it and see big old monster, boom, 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 boom. Boy, that'll deceive the world. Well, I never did see a big old monkey deceive the world. A King Kong or an alligator or anything. I always thought the Bible said it was a religious thing that was going to be taking place. All right? See, so then, you know, I'm rejoicing because of the word that God has given us, and I'm very happy to say that I believe that the book of Revelation is your book if you'll read it the way. It talks to you. Because like I've told you over and over, since the day of Pentecost, God is not nowhere shown in the Bible. I ask you to bring it to me, anybody. Show me anywhere in the Bible that Jesus is spoken of by himself after the book of you started the book of Acts. He was here in a mortal body, sure. One person. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell, and he's never been separated nowhere before, since then, and never will be. That's why people can't understand the book of Revelation. They read about a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. And we couldn't understand what that was meaning, but the prophet said that was the Spirit of God down through the seven church ages. That was the protection. That's what we want to get kind of on today, a little bit on the combat beast. And so if you notice there, that it says when the Lamb opened one of the seals, there was a noise of thunder, and one of the beasts saying, come and see.
Right.
All right. Now, God thinks so much of you. Like I said about the book of Revelations, read it. We've been through Revelations 1 where he's standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps. That's feminish. That's showing the bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Then we've been over through chapter 4 and then in chapter 5 showing that we're sitting on the throne right now with him, or in the throne is the way the prophet said it.
Right.
Now having a wonderful time, resurrected, sitting in heavenly places,
right,
in Christ Jesus,
amen,
feasting upon the Word. But Brother Dale, I just don't feel good. Praise God. I'm not going to pet you. I've just never been that way. You say, why would you say praise God if I don't feel good? Because that means we're in the end time. That means there's a lot of problems going on. That means we're here. And you're down and out because you think that we're not here. No, I'm overjoyed because I know we're here. We can see it all around us. Well, what do we expect? I mean, you expect to go out of here, the prophet said, on a flowery bed of ease when all the others have given their lives and done the things? No, no, no. If we got to crawl the rest of the way, folks, I'll be happy about it. Why? Because it won't be long. All right. But see, the combat beast is the one that said, come and see. All right. So the Lamb broke the seal. We know that. But the combat beast said, come and see. Alright? So when it's delivered, it's going to be your voice. Alright? It's going to be your voice. We'll get back on this afternoon, back following the message of what we was the last time I preached on, when I was talking about the thunder being the voice of God when the seal broke. Everybody wonders, what's the thunders? What's the thunders? The prophet told us what they are.
Amen.
I've said that from probably the first 3 months I was in this message. After I read the seal book, then that was I saw what the prophet said. He said the thunder was the voice of God when the seal broke.
Right.
No problem.
Amen.
He said, well, what are the thunders? Now that's a revelation.
Right.
We'll get to it this evening that God's got to reveal to you.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
But now the thunder's the voice of God. What else you want to make it? But yet we look at it as trying to find out some kind of a thunder is some kind of people or some person. They used to say, you know, if there was seven men would have the final seven thunders. Well, if God wants to give it to seven men, amen. If he wants to give it to 2 or 10 or 100, amen. But I'm not sitting down waiting on seven men to come around. I'm thunder number one. Which one are you? You know, no. I believe the voice of God is the revelation of God's Word.
Right. Amen.
Right. See, and I believe that and preached that since in the last of the 60s, and I surely believe it today.
Amen.
And stand up on that point of understanding that, you know, see, we are the final voice.
Amen.
So you better get down to where the bride's at.
Right.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. But now watch. See? The last message I preached on, that we're talking about, what is the thunder? Or the thunder is the voice of God.
Amen.
Right. Now, we went through John. We'll get back on, as I said, this evening more. But we went through John showing that it thundered.
Right.
And when it thundered, the people heard that. But Jesus heard a voice.
Right.
John 12, Jesus heard a voice.
Right.
He said, glorify mine, you know, glorify thee. And he said, I've glorified it and I'll glorify it again. And those that stood by heard it thunder.
Right.
Well, that's what a lot of people hear.
Right.
All they hear is the thunder.
Right.
All right. Then you got the smart alecks of the message that think they're really intelligent by coming up and saying, it's not the thunders, it's the still small voice. Well, you're not going to hear the thunders unless you got the still small voice. Because
right.
It'll be just like everybody else. You'll just hear a bloom, 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 you know.
Right.
And you might even get it down to say, well, I heard a literal voice. I heard a literal voice like it was on the Ohio River. Your message will forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. That voice didn't thunder out of the sky. It come through Brother Branham. It was his voice speaking that. But yet it was, see, it was the voice of God. One time the Lord said, "You're not hearing William Branham. You're hearing my voice. I'm just using his voice to speak. But I'm speaking to you." You see? That's through the opening of the Word. All right. But now listen. See, one of the beasts said, "Come and see." All right. Now come and see what's underneath the seal. Right. Now when it did, then they said, "We'll cover more this evening," but there was just one thunder there in the Bible, and seven seals broke. Then there was one thunder in the last days, and seven angels come to the prophet. Okay. So we don't have to worry about what it is, but the main thing I want you to get is, see, the thunder is the voice of God when the seal breaks. But if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't hear that voice. If you hear it every day of your life, it doesn't matter to me, and I'm not against anybody. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't make Billy Paul or Joseph or Sister Branham or Sarah or Rebecca. It doesn't make them automatically in the rapture because their daddy was the prophet. No more than it makes you in the rapture because of you being some kinfolks or somebody. No. The rapture is a revelation. That's page 14 of the rapture message. And he said the bride would be waiting on that revelation of the rapture. All right. It's something revealed to you. It's the voice of God speaking personally to you. It doesn't matter who's preaching to you. You better be listening for the voice of God. I've heard people say, "I've heard the voice of God." Amen. So did they in the Bible. A lot of people was there when that voice thundered. And a lot of people was able to pick up then Paul's writings and things. But what good did it do? What good does it do you and I to carry the books? The tapes and the thing. You see people, I watch them. You see people and they've always got a book. And I'm one of them. But they've always got something. They already, and when you see them, they're reading. But then you start talking to the person and you find out they're very, very shallow. Who are they trying to impress by carrying the book? Everybody wants to carry their Bible. They want a red Bible, and they want to carry it a certain way that Brother Branham did, you know. You watch preachers come out, you know. And they try to... That's all right. But I thought it was a revelation. And if we have the new birth, he'll lead us to what we need. Because he's obligated to that. Not obligated to me and you. He's obligated to what he gave us. He gave us his own life. He's obligated to come to that and bring me and you through. All right. But now watch. John saw these beasts in chapter 4. We've done been through it. He saw when he went up, you know, there was a voice and the he looked up and saw a door in heaven and a voice. When he went on, he went up and saw the throne, and he saw one on the throne. Then he saw a rainbow round about the throne. Then he saw the 24 elders, the 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. And then he saw the four combat beasts. And God was always listed as in the midst. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the four combat beasts. See, we think it's like one standing here and four around. No, he's just as much in one as he is in the other. That's what miss means. Bible terminologies are not human terminologies. See, we say, "Come and stand in our midst." Well, you try to get around pretty close. But that's not it. You can be 500 miles away and still be in the very midst of Almighty God. From what somebody's saying. All right, but now listen. See, then we know for a certainty. And I'm not going to get into a long, lengthy part about the combat beasts because we've covered them so much and Wade's done a great job from what everybody says downstairs in the Sunday school, and then he's been upstairs and speaking on it, and all these other ministers have been speaking on it. But I just want you to think. Those four combat beasts, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, and God in their midst, meaning He's just as present in one as He is the other. But like I've always said, everybody wants they make the lion the spirit among the people. They'll make the ox the spirit among the people down through that gave their life. They'll make the man the spirit among the people, and great ones like Luther and Wesley and all like that, and the writings, you know, that we were brought back to the printing presses and the things. But then when you come to the eagle, they say, Brother Branham. They put it all right back into one. Instead of seeing that it's the combat beast in the people.
Amen.
Right. Not just Brother Branham.
Right.
The combat in the beast in the people.
Right.
There were seven horns and seven eyes on that lamb. And the prophet said, I gave them to you, where he said, that was the lamb's protection in the ages. Alright. See, then sure, we believe Brother Branham brought the message. We gave honor and glory to that.
Alright.
But yet you and I have got to become the message that he preached. That's what we're doing. Alright. And in doing that, then we become the combat beast by the new birth. You and I are now having to combat all of this stuff that's going around. We're having to fight the world economy that's falling apart. We're having to fight the people in this message that's falling apart. We're having to fight all of those spirits. And I like it this way. You may not think it's good, but you ought to, being you're here. I don't mean in this building, I mean the age we're living. I believe he saved the best for last.
Amen. Yep.
I don't believe you could take the lion and bring him up here.
Right.
It's took a long time. You say, why have we been around here 40 years since the prophet left? Child training.
Amen.
Getting us to the place that we can stand the pressure.
Right.
You haven't heard Brother Man talking about being pressurized?
Right. Yeah.
You know, when they go into outer space and that, and the prophet said that traveling like to the moon, interplanetary travel, was the type of the rapture, right? And you know, they pressurize those ships and those. They pressurize it to where something goes wrong, see? You're dead. I mean, you know, it's got to be, you got to be pressurized. Ask Brother Tom that about, he was a deep sea welder, and if that air goes off, and you're down so far, that air goes off, what happens? Now, it might not sound too good, but you can ask the professor that was there that knows all about it. It'll literally suck you up through the pipe. Right, Brother Tom? Because there's so much pressure. It'll suck you up through the pipe. Crush you and suck you right out. It doesn't matter how big you think you are. See? That's why you got to be pressurized. We got to be pressurized to make the rapture. We got to be ready. Not just floating around like a bunch of chickens and say, boy, we're going to fly.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I've run them in my days as a boy, run chicken half a day to try to catch him where we could have chicken for dinner. Yeah. The old chickens today, you don't have to run them. Yeah. But still, that chicken ain't nothing compared to the eagle.
Amen.
Yeah. We're in the days of the eagles. Right up down the highway and see there's signs on everybody's, even the world is putting the eagles on. Eagle truck lines, eagle lips. You stop and ask them, say, you in the message? And so a lot of people laugh at you because they don't know about message. But some every once in a while will say, sure, that's why I got eagle on my truck, you know. But now listen. See, it's the combat beast that delivers the message of come and see. Now that's the point I want you to get. It's not the lamb. It's not the lamb that says that. Sure, it's God in the people. We know that. But the people are chosen. The combat beast was chosen there to say, come and see. And there's a combat beast with each seal of 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Amen.
All right. Now, when you get to the fifth, there's not a combat beast. Why? Because there's only 4 combat beasts. So the fifth has to be, that fourth one, the eagle, had to be a prophet for the message to come through. But it has to be a prophetic people to hear the message that the prophet has brought. That doesn't make anything out of you and I. That takes us down, if anything. Anything you get makes you feel like you can't hardly get your head in the building, then there's something wrong with you. Any revelation that God has ever given me always takes me down, because I realize that He has lowered Himself so low down to get down to speak to me. And that's a great honor for to know that the Lord has spoken unto you. Even the blessing in the book of Revelation to be able to read the book, let alone it being revealed to you. To just read it is a great blessing. All right. But now listen. Those living creatures, what are they? They're around the throne in heaven that when John saw it. But let's back up a little bit. Go back in Ezekiel. These are very familiar with everybody. Go back to Ezekiel. And let's pick up and just study a little bit. Because the point I want you to get is now that the combat beast delivers the message of come and see. It's a very important part of the doing. The lamb paid the price. But now, who down through time has brought forth the message to deliver the people? Come on, who brought the message to you? Somebody brought it to you. Right? At one time, that's why we believe in it. See, at one time, the Lutheran was right. That was the message of the day. Wesleyan was right. The Baptist was right. The Presbyterian was right when they first started. And they were part of that combat beast, those true born-again believers in those ages. Were part of that combat. And what was it doing? Guarding. We'll get back to it in a minute. They're guards. They're guard around the throne, and that's what I want you to see. All right? And they still got to be guarding today. So that's what I want you to look at. Look at Ezekiel. Chapter 1. Now, I don't want to do a lot of reading, but I want to just sketch across and pick up something. But now watch. Look at verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Alright, now. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And what's their likeness? And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Well, see, why didn't we read that? Why didn't we read that part? Well, Brother Dale, I read it. But why didn't we understand? I read that in the Baptist. But all I was looking for was four creatures and trying to figure out what it's all about. But it tells you they got the appearance of a man. Well, see, there's only one man. Now listen, there's only one man that the Bible is describing. Right. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? Amen. So then, whatever you read of these combat beasts, etc., remember, it's the Spirit of God in those people. Right. But it's got the appearance of the likeness of a man. Right. See, we want to draw it out. If you'd say to me, Brother Dale, draw what you believe about Ezekiel chapter 1, as we'll get on over in a minute, about the wheel in the middle of the wheel, and this one running this way, this running that way, you know, and all the things. Say, would you please draw that for me? You know what I draw? A picture of Jesus Christ. A picture of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the likeness of a man. There's only one man that can be described the way the Bible describes him. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, we'll get to it where they're all looking, and each one looking their direction. And you draw it out, see, you'd try to draw a lion, and you'd draw an ox, and you'd draw a man, and you'd draw an eagle, you'd draw this, you'd draw that. Why not just get it down to what it is? It's Jesus Christ. But the thing of it is, it's Jesus Christ in the people that's being described. See, this here in Ezekiel, now listen, is the journey of Israel. This is the journey of Israel. This wheel in the middle of the wheel finally comes out to be Jesus Christ. And then it goes on from there through the combat beast in the church ages. And then it goes on to the throne of glory. But see, you see them back here in the Old Testament as the guards of the altar. Now we'll get to that in a minute, but just going down once now. Verse 6, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. Now, how can you do that? How can you do that? You got four of them standing. One's looking this way. One's looking this way. One's looking this way. And one's looking this way. Now, who goes? So if the one looking this way, he goes. The rest of them can't go forward. Right? See, you're trying to draw or figure out something just like it was when we had the denominational ideas and didn't know what in the world we were talking about these combat beasts and things. You see why you can't draw it? You can't figure it out? So if one goes, where's the rest of them going? So you can't draw it. Go back to the man then.
Right, right, man.
Go back to the appearance of a man.
Right.
And not his four men. You know?
Right.
Stand it? No. It's one man.
Right.
But it's a story. It's a symbol.
Right.
See? To deliver to you and I.
Right.
To keep us wondering. But the prophet knew what it was. If you would have asked Ezekiel, Ezekiel, draw what you see. He said, I don't fully understand it. But I got enough understanding from God to know that I'm not trying to draw four, one going one, one going up. What are you talking about, Ezekiel? I'm talking about the wheel in the middle of the wheel. I used to sing that song, you know, the big wheel runs by. What it, little wheel runs by the word of God or something. One runs by faith, other runs by the word of God. Wheel in the wheel, way in the middle of the air. This is the this is Israel as they journeyed.
Right.
You say, draw out what you're seeing. Brother Dale, what would you draw out then if you're going to draw out more of the way of, you know what I draw out? We don't have it up here to, I draw out Israel and them camped. And I draw out them in journey. Because that's what you're looking at. You're looking at Israel in her journeys. What do you think he's talking about here? Watch now. You read all the way through. And they went everyone straight forward. Verse 12. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like an appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightnings and different things. It comes down to being the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You read all that in between. Jump over to verse 24. And as they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, listen, as the voice of the Almighty. the voice of speech as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. Voice of the Almighty. Voice of the Almighty. Where's the voice of God at today if we're the final voice to the final age? Where's it always been? God is always, from the beginning, the prophet said, that when the fall came, it was necessary then that God condescend and use prophets and things to speak to us. So He's always had to use man's voice to speak. It's always been that way. Where's the voice of God? In the people of God. All right. Drop on down. Now you read all this in between. Drop on down to verse 28. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. Now remember the same thing in Revelation 4, about 3 down in chapter 4 of Revelation, where there's a rainbow round about the throne. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Israel in journey is what Ezekiel is seeing. As they move down through the wilderness and things in their journey, there was your wheel in the middle of the wheel. There was your combat beast to guard. But yet they had the appearance of a man who was leading the children of Israel. You remember what was said to Moses at the burning bush? He said, "Mine angel shall go before thee," and said, "My name is in him." And said, "You better honor that." They had the pillar of fire to guide them by night. And the cloud by day, right? They didn't move until God said move. It didn't matter if they stayed camped for a month in one place. Until Moses went out and told them, said, "Let's go." They just sat there. Why? Because they were guarding the altar. And those 12 tribes were sitting around that, camped around the Levites, which originally was to have been 13 tribes, and you know that. It's in the church age book, the prophet said, because it originally, see, when you started out, you had the Levite was going to be in the middle. And the 12 tribes would be gathered around to guard that Levite, and the Levite is where the word's at. But see, when the fall came of Dan and Ephraim, then you put Joseph and Levi in, and it fell out to be 12, but they were still guarding the Ark of the Covenant. Turn over to Numbers. Just trying to get a thought in your mind because I want you to follow it. Numbers chapter 2. Now watch this pick up then is the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. But remember what it is now. It's Israel in journey. This is the order of the camp of Israel. When they camped, they just didn't just go out, well, okay, we're going to camp right here. No, they had a certain way they camped. They had to camp like 3 tribes to represent one. You know, it was really 4 tribes, but I mean, like you got Judah, we'll read that. And then you got 3 tribes with him. So you got to have that gathering around to come out to have your 12. All right. And when you do, the word was in the middle. The Ark of the Covenant. And there was no way to get to that Ark of the Covenant unless you come through those people. They had a way they camped. That was every day. If they moved every day, they went back and camped that same way. Why? Because they're the combat beasts of the Old Testament to guard the altar. Just like I said, Ezekiel, that's what he saw. He saw Israel camped. But when he described it with the the faces of the different things and the appearances and all like that. He was describing what he was looking at. Right, now here's their camp. You got a Scofield Bible that says there, chapter 2, the order of the host, the arrangement of the camp. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah. All right. Now, the prophet said that's the line, Judah. All right. Now watch. Now to save time reading, you can go down through there and they camp with Issachar and Zebulun to make the coming out to the three of them. All right. Verse 10, and on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben. All right. Now Reuben is the man. But I got it written down here. I gave them to you, Brother Brown, explaining it. According to their armies and the captains of the children of Reuben, you know, then you got Simeon and Gad, verse 12 and 14. All right. And they shall set forth in the second rank, verse 16. See, all of this meant something. The Bible is just not a haphazard thing. When they camped, it meant something. It had to be in order to where that then when it would come down to where we are, that each thing would be in order. So Ezekiel saw Israel in journey and camping and moving, and they had to move out a certain way, and the line would lead out. Then the next would lead out. The next would, they had to go. All right. Everything had to be done perfectly in order because it'd have to match where we are. See, it would have to come down to be when you're guarding the book of Acts then that you'd have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to come out to be in the end time. Now, I gave you the quotes from the prophet, so if you can't read them, then you're not concerned anyway. But go down to verse 17. Verse 17 tells you, and then in the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forth forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst. The Levites was to originally been in the midst. He doesn't have the Levite doesn't have a property. Right? Are you reading your Bible? God said, I'm your portion. Now when you come down and had to put him into the tribal order to make it match back up and pick up, you know, Joseph and the ones and their children, sure, then you talk about properties and things, but the Levite was to never been. There was originally to been 13 tribes, and in the millennium, they'll go right back to 13 tribes because they go back to perfect order. Right. And see, that Levite, which is the preacher, the word, that's where he's at. Nobody wouldn't, you just didn't pick up a high priest from just anywhere. He had to come from the tribe of Levi. And even that Gershom Solomon or Rabbi Richmond, one of the two, said that there was an entirely difference in the genetic makeup of the people from the tribe of Levi. They can pretty well follow that, even today, because it was set aside different. All right. But now what's the next now? All right, we've got the east and the south. Verse 18, and on the west side shall be the standard of the tribe of Ephraim. And he's got his that goes with him, which is Manasseh and Benjamin. All right. And you go down to verse 25. And the standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies. All right. Now Dan is the eagle. Dan is the eagle. All right. See? Then you got the children of Israel camped. Like I said, you could say, well, what does that mean? I'm going to camp where I want to. That was a good way to lose your life. Not from the hands of the enemy. Who would have killed you? Moses and the Levites. Who was it when they caught him that one time? things was going on. Moses called him and told him, said, put your sword on and every man go out and kill him. This is not no plaything. Ezekiel saw it in a vision of the children of Israel as they would camp and as they would journey. And as they would protect the altar. The Ark of the Covenant was in the middle. The Word. And they were always there to protect. Because they were the guards of the altar. Then God made cherubims over the altar and things. But that was into the angelic form. This is the natural children of Israel as they count. And that's what Ezekiel saw. He saw them in their journey and their travels and the things. But yet he said he saw a wheel in the middle of the wheel. And he saw, looked like a man going this way, and one going this way, one going that way, one going that way. Then you try to draw all that out, and you go crazy as a bat. Draw me a human picture of how that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You better be careful, your lion's going to eat up your lamb. Then you put a dove in there, you really got a problem. You can't draw the Bible. But you could draw it if you see what it's meaning. Ezekiel's vision is fulfilled in the children of Israel in their journey as they travel. And as they see it, they see that it's the appearance of a man. Who was that man? Jesus Christ. The angel of the covenant. Now listen. He didn't need nobody to guard the Ark of the Covenant. They wouldn't, nobody could get to it. Right? Now come on. Anybody that went behind the veil that was not the ordained priest, you know, the high priest, what happened to him? He died. God don't need nobody to protect. But he chooses to do that to give you and I a place as part of his economy. He doesn't need me and you. But he chose us. Like Rabbi Richmond said, I didn't have anything to do with it. I like that. He said, I can't help it if I'm an Israelite. I didn't have anything to do with me being born that way. But listen, after you see what God has done for you, then where does your honor go? David had 300 Gentiles. A lot of his men was Gentiles. Right? And you've read the Bible and heard the prophet tell of the story how that three of those men fought for 25 miles to get David a drink of water because all he said is, I just love to have a drink of water. They fought 25 miles, no telling how many people they killed, to get him a drink of water. So great of an honor of a man until David had to have the man took out and killed because he wouldn't even go home to his wife. Because David was trying to cover up his sin. You remember the story? What an honor it was that those men would have given their lives, everything for David. Why? Because David had chosen them. Right? For you and I to be the chosen of God. Oh, how much it is. But what I'm trying to get you to see is one thing. When you get over in the book of Revelation, the opening of the seals is by the Lamb, but the combat beast delivers the message. He's the one that says, come and see. Without him, there would be nobody understand. He was given a position. As I said, God didn't need the children of Israel to guard the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody that ever walked in close to it died. But he chose man and put them in the position of the children of Israel to where that they could guard that Ark of the Covenant. The only time that they'd ever lose would be what? The only time they'd ever lose is when they turned away from God. As long as they'd done what God told them. It didn't matter how dirty it was. You remember Balaam and Balak? Trying to show the back part of Israel. In other words, the worst thing could be shown of Israel. And God looks down and says, I see nothing. But I hear the shout of a king in the camp. But see, God chose Israel and their journeys to be an example for you and I. To show us our position. Right, do you understand what I'm saying then? As they camped, as they journeyed, that's what Ezekiel saw. Right. But that wasn't all Ezekiel saw. Because Ezekiel saw over into where that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John guard the book of Acts. Right. Now, if you don't know where these are at, it's in, I gave you the parts of it, but it's in Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 3, and 4. Of the Church Age series preached in 1960 and 61. So get them and read them. The prophet give us the camps. He give us the things. He's showing us what each one of these meant. See, how that when Judah would go out, there's your line. Reuben goes out. He even described it. To show you that we're not in perfection. And God is not looking at that. Do you remember what the prophet said, the reason Reuben was chosen and put in the position of the man? But if you'll notice, when we read them, we didn't read the man. We didn't read the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. When Israel camped, when he camped there, first one was Judah, second was not the ox. Because see, when they camp and turn loose, see, I used to preach on that and draw it out. When they turn loose and start their going, though, everything falls in line. You see, Reuben was chosen or put there as the man. You know what Reuben's problem was? You remember when Reuben went into his own father's wives, polluted? Go back and read your Bible. But if you read what I gave you from Brother Branham, he tells you that. That's where I learned it from. I could read the Bible, but I couldn't understand how to fit it all together. See, but the lion, Judah, and then Reuben going out as the man. Ephraim's the ox. Hard to see Ephraim's the ox when Ephraim was the one that turned around over and went to the golden calves and things. What am I doing? I'm trying to show you that we look at ourselves as what we think we are. And when we do, we don't say what God says about us. We were talking about that down there before we come up today. When are we going to start saying what God says about us? Like I told you, before I started in the series, before we ever got to the church ages, to where God would say you've left your first love, he puts chapter 1 to show the bride and how beautiful she already is. He put what he's seen. He didn't put what, you know, about us. He didn't put about what we would. He didn't write the church ages first and then come back and show how beautiful. See, that's what we think. We think, well, one of these days the Lord's going to make us... No, no. He doesn't see anything anyway. The children of Israel in their journeys and their camp, God thought so much of it, he gave Ezekiel a vision of it. And it goes all the way to glory. But go back and read of the things they done. Read of the things those men done. And you'd wonder how it could ever type anything rightly. But remember, it's what God says about us. You keep looking at yourself, you're a failure. All of us are failures. The greatest we could talk about in our day stood in and told us and said, I sin every day. I do wrong every day, the prophet said. I got to repent every day. Of course, a lot of people make him so much God that he didn't do wrong, but that's all right. That's your business. That's what you believe. I believe what he said. That he was a sinner saved by grace. But I know what God said about him. David was a murderer of the worst you could think of was David. But when God looked down at him, he said, he's the apple of my eye. Abraham lied, gave his wife away, and all kind of things twice. And God said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. It's not what we think we are. It's what he says we are. So he said the children of Israel was what he was looking at. That they were the guards of the altar to represent that. Then you come over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the guards of the book of Acts. Now if it's not in what I gave you, you go in there and read the books that it's called out. And listen to the prophet talk about how that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John guarded the book of Acts. He said, you read over in the book of Acts, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, okay, Matthew, you're the lion. What do you say? How are you going to guard that? He said, because I'm going to show you, born this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm going to show you His name is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you who He is. See, then that way in the book of Acts, you don't have to worry about whether to baptize. See, people take Matthew 28:19 and try to prove that it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How could you guard that with it? How could that be guarding the book of Acts? That'd be destroying the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. See, those guards guard the altar. That's their job. See, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John guards the book of Acts. If you find something in the book of Acts that don't sound right, go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of course, most everybody thinks Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is four very unimportant books, you know. I'd rather read these others. I say it like this, and I've always said it. That message in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is so vital, God didn't trust it with a prophet to bring. He didn't trust it with no man to bring. He brought it himself. He come and lived Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And to show you how that the imperfection of the human element would still look at the things that would seemingly wrong. You know that Luke and Mark are not even original disciples. They were not of the original 12. Luke come on away later. I don't know exactly where Mark come in. But they were not original disciples. But see, God chooses us with imperfections to bring forth His perfection. Luke, I love to read the book of Luke because he's the only one that said this. He said, having perfect understanding. He didn't even walk with the Lord Jesus. Didn't even hear the things He said. But He said, having perfect understanding. Mark was the ox to come over there, you know. Mark 16. My name they shall cast out, take up a serpent. What, the ox? See, it's the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, right there. With Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John was the one chosen to go to Patmos. And going over there to be the prophet, to bring back the message. Joining would be the eagle prophetic. See, I'm just trying to get a long, fast run through. See, then you come down to the church ages. Then in the church ages, you have the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. You have the lion of the word that went forth in the early ages. Then you have the ox that come in to where that it was a sacrifice time, you know. 68 million died under the Catholics' own record of them dying. Giving their life, he said, untold millions spiritually. Then the man, Luther, Wesley, Whitfield, and Knox, and all of those coming in. great men coming in that we may look at them and think they're not too good. But yet God thought enough of it to make it the man. He thought enough of it to show what Ezekiel saw. Because Ezekiel saw Israel in journey, but Ezekiel saw the bride in journey. There's your wheel in the middle of the wheel. The bride in journey down through time. And like I said, everybody thinks the life one being the eagle is just but a random. No. It's going to take a prophetic people to understand the prophet's message. That's what he said. He said it was not for just anybody. It was for a special people. That's why everybody can't understand this message. First off, they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Second off, they're blinded by false shepherds sitting under them, you know, and won't venture out to try to find the truth. That was why, church, that we opened up the internet to the world. Because I would go and people would say, can I get your tapes? I said, get your pastor to okay it. They'd say, well, I can't get my pastor to okay it. He won't let me listen to anybody else. I said, well, I can't send them to you then because I can't violate his. And I honored that. People would come in here and try to get them. I said, if somebody else gives them to you, I'm not responsible. I'm not it because I'm not sending them. We don't send them now, only to the people that are calling for it. We still refuse to answer any questions or anything on the internet. That even pastors write questions and say, I'm the pastor, I want to know. I still refuse. I send them back the same notation. We don't answer questions. Go to your pastor or the prophet's message. Why? Because I believe that the Holy Ghost in Africa can give a man the truth. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, the prophet said God's obligated to put somebody on the pulpit to answer that. He may send somebody like he sent me to Brazil. Maybe one person. Sent me up in Canada that time when I went up there and walked around wondering when somebody, the last day I was there, this little brother come up and he said, you Brother Dale? I said, yes, sir. We didn't make no big scene out of it either. And I didn't tell nobody else. He said, you Brother Dale? I said, yes, sir. He said, I listen to your tapes all the time. I said, thank you, brother. Hope you enjoy them. And I just walked off. I didn't stand and talk to him. I didn't do anything. Why? Because if he didn't want to be associated out in the open, that was his secret. But listen, church, the combat beast is here. 464, the seal book. What did he say? Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, and the Holy Ghost came himself in the person on the day of Pentecost, Azusa Street. The Holy Ghost came himself. No messenger of the age. We said in the end of the age then, that's 464 seal book, read it. The prophet would come. Why? That Holy Ghost that fell on Azusa Street was a prophetic utterance. Proving it, it went started forth with gifts. Come on. But everybody else just argues about gifts being so bad. They started out on the day of Azusa Street with gifts of the Holy Spirit, proving that God was restoring the gifts back to the church, coming back into the church himself in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel saw that. Ezekiel looked all the way down and seen where we're at now. And then he saw all the way to glory because the next time you see him, the combat beast is not left on earth. Come on. The combat beast is in glory, sitting around the throne. Still guarding the throne. But who is that? That's the bride. Down through seven church ages. That's why she has the seven horns and the seven eyes. That lamb, because it's showing the one true and living God. The book of Revelation doesn't show many gods. It shows God in many forms. But every one of those forms is a part of His personality. Because there's only one person of God. Only one identity, one personality. You're going back to Trinitarianism if you try to make more than one identity or personality. But see, the guards. Now watch for a minute then. The guards are the ones that says, come and see. All right? They say, come and see. Come forth now. Something is happening. And what did the prophet say? He said, see? He said, the voice of God is speaking. We've had the voice of God come through a prophet in our day. But that was an example of Moses or an example of Joshua. To lead the children of Israel and lead the people. That was an example. But like I've always told you, it wasn't the voice of Joshua that brought down the walls of Jericho.
Right. Amen.
It was when the people done what Joshua said.
Right.
When they become one with Joshua's message and done what he said, he was probably up on the hillside somewhere watching over them. But when they made that seven times around, and in that last day they made seven trips, and then each one turned and looked at the wall. They become one with the message the man had brought unto them. They were doing exactly as was told to do. And when they did, it's left up to God to bring the rest. They couldn't bring the walls of Jericho down. But it was left up to God because they'd done what the messenger said to do. When you and I get lined up in this message and realize that we are guarding the message the prophet brought. You said, but Brother Dale, this message don't need guarding. Your mind is sure messed up. That's the best way I can say it. Because you want to go click on, you want to spend the rest of the afternoon talking about all the doctrines that have flowed forth, that every one of them claims to be saying what the prophet said. But you know what I like? I like down in that church ages when they said to him, said, you're not saying what Paul said. And brother, they meant it. They meant it. It was serious to them. It was their life. This is my life. That's why I don't play with this message. These brothers are out here, what they do, that's their business. I don't stand here and condemn nobody and send them to hell because they don't believe the way I believe. But there's one thing about it. Somebody's going to be right in the message. But a lot of people is going to be wrong. Why? Because they haven't followed with the prophet. They haven't stayed with what he said. And thereby they go off on their own ideas. See, I'm guarding this message. As a minister of the gospel, I guard the message. You say, see, I know what's out there and I know what people are saying. I know the quotes, all right? You don't have to guard this message. God took care of it. Amen. But you know, Joshua never spoke to all of the about 2 million people of Israel. Are you thinking? Joshua had captains and leaders. Right? Joshua had a fivefold ministry that he could deliver the message to. And they would take it to the people. And that's all I'm doing. That's all any of the fivefold ministry can do is to turn you back to the prophet's message. And if I don't, you come and tell me. But see, we're still guarding this word.
Amen.
Had they done that at Nicaea instead of taking what was said by a lot of other people?
Right.
A lot of them left Nicaea, I know that. But I also know what the prophet said. He said they brought back things with them that finally become the deterioration of to where the seed had to go into the ground. Listen, church, do you understand what I'm saying? Ezekiel saw all the journey of God through time, the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and then showed him into glory. in a vision. Seeing those guards there, but seeing in the last one, the last time they're shown, as the four beasts in the doing, is in chapter 6. Chapter 5, you see them. They're around the throne. Chapter 6, you see what they're doing. And God thinks so much of that little bride until He says, come and see. He allows them to speak. If we're the final voice, page 340 Church Age book, under her messenger, she's the final voice to the final age. If we're the final voice, then you think we're going to speak anything, going to be speaking anything different from what has already been before us? That's why the prophet said, I'm so zealous of the things that I've tried to preach. That's why I've been that same way.
Right.
All you got to do is compromise a little bit, yeah, and you become popular. But no, because we stand for the message as it is,
right,
and believe it the way that we believe it, then... But that's all right. I'm just doing what I can do. You know yourself that I've never come here and ridiculed these brothers for what they believe. I come here and tell you that I don't believe it.
Right.
And the reason I don't believe it is what the prophet said here, here, here.
Right.
But as far as what they say, what they're doing, that's my brother.
Right.
And I will defend them on that basis. And I will tell you, and you know yourself that I've said it over and over, a lot of times people cut off tapes of some of these brothers when they don't even know what the man's talking about, period, anyway. The man might be telling the truth. So you better listen. You got the Holy Ghost, don't worry about it. The Holy Ghost is going to keep you straight. But He may have to whip you to line you back up.
Right?
But He'll keep you straight because He's obligated to the Holy Ghost. He's not obligated to me and you. But you understand what I'm saying? That combat beast is the one that says, come and see. It winds up when the last one is the prophet. Truly, we can see that he is the one that can say, come and see. You know? Surely we can see that he was the one that brought the message unto us. The message of what? Come and see. Brother Branham didn't open the seals. The Lamb opened the seal. And one of these days we're going to realize that there wasn't seven seals in the end time for a lamb to come forth and have to rip off a book. We're going to see that it was a prophet standing here speaking the revelation of Jesus Christ to you and I. That doesn't make him anything. That puts it in the correct order. Because he can't break the seal. Even Jesus said, my own life, paraphrasing it, Brother Brown said, he said, my own life couldn't reveal that thing unto you. That's why he had to die where the Holy Ghost could come. You remember when he was talking to Nicodemus? Nicodemus called him a teacher. He said, I'm not a teacher. Brother Branham paraphrasing. He said, I'm not a teacher. He said, I'm the Lamb that come to die. He said, but the Holy Ghost is coming. That he's going to be your teacher. See, Jesus had to die to release that where that life could come back. Where it could be a combat beast then in a group of people. We guard this word. We guard the message. As pastor, I try to guard you from doctrines that are in the land. Because that's part of the combat. To combat the Antichrist and his ways. Who said, come and see? Then it went into a symbol. It was the combat beast. But it was what Ezekiel saw. That's what the point I want you to see, that Ezekiel saw it, and then now it's being fulfilled. This is the finality before we go to glory. This is the end of it before we go to glory. This is where they come and see. Search what time it, Brother Brown said, the thunders didn't sound in heaven. He said, they sound on earth.
Amen.
We'll get to it this evening. It's back to more of what we're on. What is the thunder? It's the voice of God. Where's the voice of God? Well, do you think you're the voice of God? Well, I didn't say it. So you argue with the Lord about it. I didn't say I was a preacher. You argue with the Lord about that. I'm just one trying to direct you and I into a rapture. The Lord is the one that has to speak it, because I can't reveal it to you. As a human element, all I can do is speak what the prophet said. And that's why it's been 40 years. I preached this in 1969 or earlier, that the thunder was the voice of God when the seal broke. I've asked you to read the breach to see what the prophet said. I've asked you now to read the first seal. If you're interested in knowing where I get what I'm talking from, I give you most of it, but the rest of it is right there in the prophet's message. If it's not, come and show me. Why? Because we are the voice. God chose us to speak. And we are to guard this word. Now listen to the final statement. You say, yeah, but what are we? No, God. Listen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John guarded the book of Acts, didn't they? Is that true? Would you agree to that statement? Right. You know, the book of Acts was the faith of the fathers. Right? Amen. You know, they guarded the faith of the fathers. You know, they still guard the faith of the fathers to keep it straight, to show you the one true and living God in the thing. Well, then the prophet come in the end time, and his message started in 1963. He said, not in the years of preparation, but through the opening of the seals. Well, then who's going to guard that part? Who's the guards to guard that part? And you know the reason, now listen, this final statement, get ready, brother, come on. Final statement. You know the reason I believe what I believe? Because if we're here under the eagle anointing, do you know what that means? Under the eagle anointing, you have the anointing of all four combat beasts gathered up into one. You've got the lion, which is the word of God. You've got the ox, which is the point of sacrificial to try to put up with the brothers and sisters when they're doing wrong and won't listen. You've got the man, the shrewdness, to try to bring the word and to place it to where others cannot tear it down. But you've got the prophetic eagle, which is here in the end time to speak to us the things that we have need of. It all comes down to the eagle anointing. You see, the reason I know I'm right, and somebody come show me if I'm not. That's what I've always said. I've always preached it to the open. Come and show me. But you know the reason I know I'm right? Because I don't have to deny anything the lion said. I don't have to deny anything the ox said. I don't have to deny anything the man said. So the eagle anointing must be here in the bride, not in one person anymore. It was in Brother Branham, but now it's in the bride to guard the message of the hour to keep it pure. But Brother Branham didn't deny what Luther said. He didn't deny what Paul and him taught. Do you get somebody come up over here with a message that's contrary to what the disciples taught? Like the River Jordans and the doctrines they're bringing, that Jesus wouldn't God to the River Jordan? Fit that in the book of Acts. Fit that in Matthew that says, unto you know, this day is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Put that into those things. Let the Bible guard the message. It does. Come on, brother. The Bible guards. We guard the Bible, but yet the Bible is speaking back. And you know what it's saying? Come and see. There'd be no way, now this I've said this over and over, but there's no way for that lamb to deliver that message without allowing that combat beast to be the delivering form that says, come and see. Because God chose it that way. He said, when the Lamb broke the first seal, said there was a voice like a thunder. One of the combat beasts said, come and see. Come and see. That's what we're saying to the world today, folks. When you go out there declaring this message, the truth of it, and show, what are you saying? Come and see. I don't know whether that message is right. Come and see. I just can't believe it like that. Well, come and see. Let's sit down and talk about it. Let's see if the Bible's right. Come and see. Let's stand together.
269
in the red book, if anybody has a need. Just come and see. That's the title of the message. Come and see. He's a soldier of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must from victory unto victory. Can't you see the children of Israel? Can't you see them as they journeyed? And God just hovering over the top of them. Now listen to what I'm saying. God didn't fight every battle for them. There's battles they had to fight naturally. But you know what I like? I like what he told Moses one day. Now, he didn't go down and kill the people, but he told Moses. He said, go up, the battle is the Lord's. Can you fit that together? He doesn't fight all of our battles. He gives us things to do in life. But just remember, when it's all said and done, he's the one that's fighting the battle in you. He's in you fighting the battle. Lord Jesus, the strength of... Anybody have a need? My flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust you. Put on the gospel. Put on the word. Just think about it. Sing that first verse over and just think about what he's saying. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the lift high. Remember, it had the lightness of a man. We give all the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the leader. You remember the man come to Joshua, and Joshua said, are you for us or against us? He said, I'm not neither one. He said, I've come to take over. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And I've come to take over. Well, see, I think it's about time to realize God is here to take over. The battle's the Lord's. But he's going to give you something to do. Think about it. Let's rise with thanks. Just sing that last verse as you're dismissed. Pray one for another. Remember these prayer requests. Stand up. You're dismissed.